Oh, well, to get you started on the eve of the eve. Good morning. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich. Welcome to the conversation. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Beth Ann. I'm still trying to figure out what that song was about.
Oh, good. Well, you keep figuring it out because a lot of people are trying to figure out the future, and that's the subject of several of our conversations this morning. Now, if you were offered the chance to see your future, would you take it? Well, many people would, and that's keeping a lot of psychics in business. But for the larger questions of humanity, predicting the future may have a much better chance with super forecasting. The work of social scientist and psychologist Philip Tetlock is based more in acute awareness than divination. Our resident social scientist and contributing editor Neil Milner has had a look, and he joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
When we talk about, you know, predicting the future, that seems to connote an ability that some people may have to see things that others cannot. This seems to be just the same thing, but with a very, very different driver, acute awareness as opposed to any sort of divine inspiration. Would that be right?
Well, I think that's right, but the first thing to understand about Tetlock is not just that he finds that out, and we'll come back to that in a moment. It's also what he finds out through very thorough, long-standing research about who is good at predicting complicated economic events and political events, who's good at it and who's not good at it. The two surprising groups that are terrible at it are, first of all, pundits. That may not be so surprising. Jonathan Franzen, the novelist, calls them cherry-picking anecdotalists, which suggests why a lot of pundits aren't good. They look for evidence that supports their pre-existing point of view. The other group that's not good are experts. And experts tend not to be good because they tend to have a well-formulated point of view. When I mean not good, the studies show that they don't do any better than random, and that this research got the nickname of chimpanzees throwing at a dartboard. But what Tetlock found in this very thorough research is that although on average people don't do well, including experts and a bunch of other people, there's a certain group of people, the kind that you began to describe, that he calls super forecasters, who really have a kind of talent and a sense of investigation and humility that the average person or that most people don't have. And in fact, this kind of super forecasting method won the contest that the Defense Department sponsored to see who could predict the best.
But this goes beyond just the contest. This is from the Good Judgment Project that's been going on for a very long time. And looking at the people who populate that project, who seem to have above average IQs, although that's not the reason for their ability to do this, it's just they happen to have that. But the fact that they maintain this acute awareness of what's going on and they're able to synthesize it based on, you know, probabilities without any sort of emotional attachment to an outcome.
Yeah, that's right. Let's just walk through one example of how they might do it very quickly. If you looked at the question of what is the likelihood, the effect of, let's say, the reduction of interest rates, or maybe you want to do it on where ISIS is going to be a year from now, the way super forecasters do it, and again, first of all, they're not professional super forecasters, they're not subject matter experts. The first thing that they do that sets them apart from anybody else is the willingness constantly to seek information on the issue. So they're constantly looking for more information. The second thing is that they're always aware of their biases, that is, and that makes them seek information from very diverse sources so they get around it. The third thing has to do with thinking in probabilities. They don't think in terms of certainty, uncertainty in a black and white sense. So what Tetlock says is that it's much more about state of mind and the way you think about information and inquiry than it is about any expertise. These people are smart people. They're not geniuses. And what sets them apart is this kind of way of thinking and willingness to work at looking at a lot of different information.
And that's a big part of it, because seeking opinions from diverse sources is not usually what most people do. And we've talked about that
Sure.
many times based on the research that you've shown.
Well, most of this what a super forecaster does is not what most people do. But you're right. You're absolutely right. Most people seek out information. And remember, this includes particularly people who are politically committed. They seek out information that supports their views. They have a very strong filter. They're not constantly looking for more information from diverse sources. And most of us don't think in probability, although it is interesting how sports analysis has become much more probability-oriented, it's to some extent due to political forecasting, that you'll get a ESPN will say there's a 62% chance that UCLA will win this game or that kind of stuff. But our minds don't, we don't normally think that way. If you're at a party and you start talking about politics, and if I do this and I say, well, it seems to me you could say on the basis of my research or whatever, that there's a 70%, you know, they're going to go right away for another glass of wine. They're not going to listen to you. So what these people have, these super forecasters, are inclinations that are very different, totally opposite from this kind of political thinking that's very common in society that you talked about before.
And how does that sync with sort of, you know, artificial intelligence and the push that people have said, well, maybe this is based on algorithms?
Well, I don't think it's based on algorithms. I think in a formal sense, but in a sense, these people think that way, in the sense that they think probabilities, and if you want to think about how they operate in terms of algorithms, one of the things that they do, then we all think in terms of algorithms. We all have formulas in our heads. The difference for super forecasters is that they tend to be flexible about changing those algorithms. They tend to be willing to say, now, this new information would suggest that the formula I'm thinking about, the kind of projection view that I have, might be wrong, and so let's reassess it. So it isn't so much that they're thinking in a kind of, I don't know what you want to say, formal mathematical sense. It's the fact that they understand how to think in probability, but at the same time, they also know that the world shifts and that you have to keep looking.
Any work to compare this to what an AI might do with it?
Well, I don't know. I don't know enough about AI to say for sure. I suppose you can, you know, you can.
I'm thinking about, you know, Watson and the whole thing,
right,
with Jeopardy, and that seemed to be very different from what you're talking about.
I think
here.
It is very different. I've never heard about artificial intelligence like Watson doing this kind of stuff. The way Watson works is that if you can get enough information in there, like for chess, they can deal with an enormous amount of variables. And, of course, they can digest more information than the human can. But I'm saying there's a kind of judgmental, introspective process that's working here that I can't say for sure whether artificial intelligence can do this, but it's different.
And a lot of people may be very glad of that fact.
Well, okay.
Neil, thanks very much.
You're
for
welcome.
This, and a happy new year.
Same to you, folks.
Contributing editor Neil Milner considers social science research and related matters in our biweekly segment, The Long View. He'll be back in a couple of weeks.